Blog Talk Radio.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Hello,
Jared Robinson, y'all. Welcome. Jared Smooth Robinson.
Who's that? Hi there, everyone. Say hello, Miss Joyce Licorice.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful. And Mr. Michael Gamble? Mr. Harvey Zay?
Yes, Harvey Zay is here. Hello, everybody.
Wonderful. Mr. Gamble must be standing around down in Atlanta down there. He'll be up here soon. Miss Licorice, let's talk to you and get the ladies first. Is that okay with you?
It's fine with me.
Okay. What about your name? Is that really as sweet as it sounds, Licorice?
It is indeed. It's a West Indian name, very common in Barbados. My ex-husband was from the island. So I kept the sweet name, got rid of the sour guy.
That's wonderful. Well, I would like to give you the opportunity to tell me a little bit about yourself. I see something in front of me, but I always like to let the people talk from the bottom of their heart without messing up all those questions. So if you could tell me about what you would like to talk about first. What would you like to talk about first, your children or your hometown or your career?
Well, you know, my kids are short and sweet. I can talk about them briefly. I have three. I have two adult female children, Michaela and Brianna. They're both singers and artists as well. And my son is 9, and his name is Jaden.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. You have one son only?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I beat you. I got three of them. Bless your heart. And you sing, too, right? And you play act. Oh, tell me about all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so play I've got a lot of fun. It's crazy, everything that's going on right now for me. But essentially, as an author, that has really taken off for me. So my background is in musical theater. I sang with the Indianapolis Opera for a few years. I do voiceover, commercial radio voiceover, and audiobook narration. And I wrote my first book in 2018. Didn't know what the heck I was doing, but by a fluke, it became a bestseller on Amazon and caught the eye of some movie producers, and we are now adapting that into a major motion picture, and it became a trilogy of books, and all three of them are now being adapted into feature films.
That's fantastic. As a feature film, did I miss the name? What's the name of the film?
So there will be three movies. The Forgotten Timepiece is book one. The Forbidden Ring and The Lost Locket. And it's the Heirloom Trilogy is the name of the series. But we're working on adapting those all three into movies. I just got back from France where we were planning shooting The Lost Locket, even though that's book three. It's random, but that's the one the investors want to shoot first. That's a love story, interracial love story between a black nurse and a white soldier set during World War II. It's actually a dual reality between modern day and the past, and she time travels back and lives the life of a nurse deployed with the military during World War II. So it's a pretty interesting story. Each one of the stories ties together past and present with a family heirloom of some sort, and there's like a dual reality going on in each one of the stories, dealing with three different time periods.
When do you write every day, or how do you do that? How do you accomplish all of those wonderful things?
Well, I don't write every day. I should write every day, but I'm also running Dream Empire Films. We started our own film production company to produce the films. So that's my day-to-day activity is that and voiceover work. But I write when it hits me. Most of the reason my company's called Dream Empire is because I dream my stories. And I'm building an empire based on those dreams. So I had the first dream literally back in 2008, believe it or not, of the first book. And it took me years to write it, over 10 years before I actually finished the book. I just didn't start it. I wrote like a few paragraphs and I was like, oh, I'll write it later. And the dream just kept recurring. And finally I wrote it. And it's the best thing that I've ever done. So I left corporate America and I'm a full-time artist now. Between that And I also sing. So I do, I actually sing R&B, jazz, neo soul, all different genres. So I stay pretty busy.
Wonderful. You can be on our station, and we're going to have the jazz station, WJZZ. We got to put you in rotation. Of course, you'll be there.
And you see that, for sure.
And also, I would like to allow you to go ahead and tell me what inspired you to change your corporate America position and go full-time into your own life.
Well, what I will say is sometimes God forces you to get out of your own way. So I was in I was unhappy. I'd been on the same job for over 16 years, was not happy, sat there and always felt like I didn't really belong there. I wasn't really answering my calling. He kept giving me the same dream. And one day I went to work and came home. I brought my work home like I always did. It felt endless. I worked around the clock. I supported a team overseas, so I hardly got any sleep. And that evening they called me and said our whole department was getting phased out. So when that happened to me, I realized after 16 years that I got no severance, no high five, nothing, but hey, you did such a great job, but sorry, don't come back to work. Oh, and they sent somebody to pick up my laptop. I was like, you know what? Thank you, God. I needed that kick in the rear, you know what I mean, so I could get on the path he wanted me on all along. And I haven't looked back. I have not worked a regular 9-to-5, if you will, since 2018.
Bless your heart. I congratulate you, because my saying is don't wait to be discovered. Discover yourself.
I love that.
Just saying yes, and you'll have to come on my BBO class and tell about that, because that's what we focus on. Let's focus on you, but I want to give you an opportunity to come on and let the world know what inspired you and how you did it. And the other thing I would like to ask you, too, about Oprah, the Color Purple. Was that the Color Purple? Am I reading it wrong? No, it says Oprah Winfrey.
Yep, the Color
Tell
Purple.
Tell us about
so
that.
That's a great segue from the don't wait to have somebody else do it for you, do it yourself. I was doing a lot of stage plays in Indianapolis, which is my hometown, and I wanted to do the Color Purple. I got a call from Broadway to come out and audition for the Broadway Across America tour as the role of Sophia. Long story, I'm going to give you the super short version. I flew to Hollywood to audition at Debbie Allen Studios. They had pulled out a day early. They told me to come back on the callback day because I was already handpicked, but they didn't call back anybody, so nobody was there. So then they apologized in New York. I auditioned in New York. When I got there, there were 40 Sophias in the room, and I made it to the last four, didn't get picked. I was heartbroken. And this is one of those, don't call us, we'll call you, and I didn't hear back after being there for 2 days doing auditions. So I decided to do the show myself. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but I did. I thought I needed this big Hollywood guy to partner with me to get the show off the ground. He walked on me at the middle of a rehearsal, said, you know, he kind of had some racist things going on. He had a few things to say about black people, and, you know, I won't get into that, but essentially, he said, I don't need this on my resume. You do. And he walked out on me. And instead of giving up, I did it myself. I wrote to Oprah and Theatrical Rights Worldwide. I got approved for the license to do the show. I put it up in Indianapolis. We sold it out 10 times. We raised enough money to take it on a 10-city tour. And I starred as Sophia in my own tour.
Isn't that something? That sounds like some of the kind of things I do when people wonder, you know, when people will say, how can you do that? People don't care about what you're doing. And you're just wasting your time. Well, you know, I wrote a song about that called Whatever. I have a little singing in my blood, too, on Re-Revelation. But I want to ask you more about your music right now, too. I have so many questions for you. But first, let me ask this. What's his name? Michael. Are you there, Michael Gamble? Did you get on? Okay. Harvey Zay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, would you like to ask her a question before I go on with my words here? Do you have a question for her?
Yes. Joyce, are you making a home in Cleveland now?
Actually, no. I am in Atlanta, of all places. Actually, Duluth, Georgia now. So, yeah, it's home. My hometown was Indianapolis, but I am a Midwest girl by blood, though.
Oh,
all right. Yeah, one of our great musicians comes from Indianapolis. He played guitar. He became very famous, sold a lot of records. Would you happen to know who we might be talking about for a prize?
Oh, for a prize. Let's see. I got to Google some folks. I want to say, is it Wes Montgomery?
You're absolutely right. Yes. So when you,
funny
when you
story,
the
park two blocks from my house growing up is Wes Montgomery Park.
Wow.
My goodness.
Oh, no wonder you knew. Well, when you come to Cleveland, you'll get two free tickets to whatever's playing.
I love it, and I would love to come because I love the theater and the arts. It's my heart.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How did you wangle that one, Harvey?
Pardon? Yes.
How did you wangle those tickets?
Oh, we don't know when she's coming, so we don't know when we'll be playing. But if with nobody's playing, I'll bring out my guitar.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, now let's go back to Miss Joyce. You're the youngest of seven daughters. That was interesting because a young number.
Oh, yeah. So my mom's running joke is that she told God she wanted seven boys, and he delivered her seven girls.
Oh, wow. Wow. They say,
and I'm the baby. And Dad's name is Bill, so they almost named me Billie Jean. I'm so glad they didn't. They would have gave me the blues.
Yeah, that's the song by Michael Jackson, Billie Jean.
They would have wore me out of school.
Well, tell me something. What would you like to most tell the world that you, as far as wisdom, as far as letting them know how they should go when they're trying to figure out which way to go? What is your good advice?
I think sometimes being still and listening to your creator, a lot of people can refer to him as the universe now, but without him, there is no universe. So I refer to him as my creator. And sometimes you get those inklings and you ignore them. And that's really his nudging of you to get on course. And I think to listen to that voice and be still and hear that voice. And if you're doing something and you're going against the grain, most likely that's not your course. The path of least resistance is usually the path that he put before you. So I would say just listen to that voice and follow it, because I got the calling and the nudge well about 2 or 3 years into my career, and I could have done this a lot sooner. You know, like 2001, 2002, I was doing a lot of opening for artists and whatnot. I opened for Shaka, Babyface, 112, New Edition, all these artists. But I didn't take myself seriously enough as a singer to really put out an album or do anything. But I was younger and more beautiful and more fit, and that was my time. And I just let that kind of opportunity pass me by and held on to what I thought was security, which is that J-O-B, just over broke. So let go of that and follow your passion, and God will make a way for your gifts. Because I tell you, I haven't missed a meal. I haven't missed a mortgage payment. As a matter of fact, I have more in the bank now than I ever did working that job, and it's because I trusted, and the possibilities have become endless for me with my creativity that he put in me. So just follow the gifts that you have, right?
Yes, that's right. Don't wait to be discovered. Discover yourself. And I'm wondering what happened to Michael, because he's from Atlanta, and I wonder if he got locked out. Myron, see if you can find Michael's number or his email, because he's from Atlanta. And he works in the broadcasting field where they play music.
Tell me what
genre do you play? What genre?
Okay, so I'm all over the place. I started out classical. I do R&B, jazz, neo-soul. So now it's more jazz and neo-soul. I was through a label in London called Lock EMG Entertainment. I'm out of contract with them. They didn't put my album out. They sat on it. So I got all my rights back, and I have that music available to be put out. So I'm actually going to be getting back in the studio in March and April, doing a few more tunes to kind of complete that sound, and that'll be more of a neo-soul kind of an album, kind of along the lines of like a Jill Scott or Angie Stone.
Right. Well, tell me, do you have a website where your music is displayed that a person can come on there and buy it or hear it? Do you have a website for that?
Yeah, if you go to joycelicorice.info, J-O-Y-C-E, it's .info. Some company in Japan bought my .com, so I had to move it over to .info. But it has information about everything I do. I act, I write, I sing, I speak. I'm a public speaker, motivational speaker. I do a little bit of everything. So you can find all things Joyce Licorice at that site, joycelicorice.info.
Well, that's interesting because you sound a lot like me. Well, I'm 80, believe it or not. And I don't let my subconscious learn that. But I have a lot of things that I have done, and I was waiting to get started like you did in a way. You know, I wasn't working for a company, but I was working for people. And I kept saying, well, nobody's going forward. I might as well just do my own thing. And so I understand that a lot. That's wonderful to meet you. And I just always want to know what you would like to do that you haven't ever done.
I'd like to star in a movie. I've been on television shows. I just shot a pilot in New York City where I was the lead actress in that. But I want to be in a feature film movie. My acting chops are from the theater, and I'm making that transition from theater, over to, because I was Effie in Dreamgirls too, and did that tour. So making that transition from being the big singer to not singing at all, and the talent being focused more on my acting, I would like to do that.
Whoa, that would be wonderful. Well, my what's his name, Mr. Harvey Zay, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's let the man in for one little word. Do you have another question you'd like to ask Miss Joyce?
Let me see. I think she's answered most of the ones that I would ask her at this time, and I could ask her if you have a date already set for the Midwest, probably maybe Cleveland, Ohio, sometime in the future.
Oh.
Well, you know what? I will come wherever I need to be. I travel often, so there is a reason for me to be there. I will make myself available because I don't punch a clock for anybody but me. So if you say, hey, we have an event, we need a singer, I'm there. If you say, hey, we have a play, we'd love to have you as a guest, I'm there. So just let me know. My schedule is pretty flexible now until May. That's when I'll be in France shooting our first movie.
It's real interesting because I know a lot of musicians, and we have a place here for jazz called Nighttown. And I used to go there just to have food, just to eat and watch the group sing. So I know a lot of musicians, but then Nighttown closed because of COVID. But they're still trying to stay out there. And one of the gentlemen, you may know of him, Eddie Backus, he passed away recently. His son plays the saxophone. Eddie Backus Jr., and he's in Baltimore. And he played on one of my songs, but he didn't play as long as I wanted him to, so I had to make him play some more. You know, because saxophones can get down. You know what I mean?
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to hear a full concert that I've done, a recent jazz concert I did, if you go on YouTube and type Joyce Licorice, Velvet Note. There's a club here called the Velvet Note, and I'm a regular act there. But if you type Joyce Licorice, Velvet Note, you can watch a whole concert I did back in September.
Okay. I want to call Mr. because he's from Atlanta, and I wish y'all could meet. So because he probably knows about all the things that you're doing. Now, let me see if I can find his name just for a minute because he must have got locked out. He works with out of Atlanta, and he works in the field of what do you call that? In the broadcasting, in the radio area. And so I'm going to see what happened to him, and I'll let you hear me dial the number. And I'm not taking you off the pedestal yet. I want you to stay on, and I will do a three-way and get him back on because he must have got locked off. And I wanted you to meet him. I had given him the number and everything. Something must have happened. Let's see. Myron, Gamble.
Yes, indeed. Ray Robinson, smoother than silk, baby. Right here, WJZZ, the definition of jazz. I started that off with Stanley Abernathy with one of my smooth cuts of late called Only When I Think of You. And when I think of you, it makes me think of Miss Stephanie's Bird, another friend of mine right here from Cleveland. Her track was called It's You, and it's a lovely, lovely track. I'm stuck on it, been playing it for quite some time, and I'm going to continue. So look for her stuff anywhere that you look for your basic music. She's on all of the platforms, as well as Stanley and all the other guys that I play. Look for them everywhere.
With Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Vivian Sharp. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I hope you can hear me. Okay, good. I have Michael on the other line. He was in. Something happened electronically. And Mr. Gamble, I'd like for you to meet Miss Joyce Licorice from Atlanta.
Hi, Miss Joyce.
Hey there.
Joyce,
how are you?
Okay, good.
I'm doing well. I listened to, and I was able to hear the entire sharing of Miss Joyce, a remarkable story. Congratulations on all that you've accomplished, and glad to have you in our great city of Atlanta. I was a big fan. I used to frequently travel off and on to Indianapolis, the great city of Indianapolis, with the great, late great Bishop Al Hobbs and the WTLC radio. So I'm familiar with your city, but congratulations on discovering yourself with a little help from the creator, as you put it.
That's right. I can't even take credit for that. So, you're not going to listen. Okay, I'm going
to
kick you out.
That's right. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Tell her a little bit about you, Michael, what you do, and maybe one of these days she'll cut a little thing and you can put her on the air down there.
Absolutely. My story is centered around radio. Been in radio business all my adult life. Started when I was a kid in high school. I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida. Was in radio when I worked part-time as a kid in high school, came to Atlanta to go to college, Clark Atlanta University, and immediately got a job in radio. But the long of it is I've been blessed to have been in this wonderful medium from that time until now. I've been the owner of a radio station a couple of times now, and I'm interested at 63. I'm now interested in the digital space and learning all it has to offer. Radio is an ever-evolving medium, and now this is a new, exciting adventure in digital media and streaming radio and internet, and of course, you know of all the streaming platforms now from television. So streaming has been a growing, ever-growing part of media, and I'm excited to be a part of it, and hopefully we'll be able to do business with many of my brothers and sisters around the country who want to expand their either desire to do a form of radio or their existing efforts and expand those efforts through digital and streaming, et cetera. So that's the long and short of my story.
Well, Miss Joyce, yes. What type of circulation do you have? I mean, with your music, do you have a manager? Do you have a marketing company? How do you get it out there? How does it get it out there to the public?
Well, I really haven't put a lot of original material out. Honestly, I've been doing so much stuff over the years in the theater, so that's really new hat for me to like really come out with my own project. I've literally sang with the Indianapolis Opera for 6 years, and then I did American Cabaret Theater for 5 or 6 years, and then I did Dreamgirls and Hairspray and Color Purple Tour.
Wonderful.
So those are all big book shows that are, you know, you're singing.
Right.
I am telling you, you're singing that kind of stuff. And
now
I'm ready to do my own stuff. It's my turn. So I felt like my talent had an expiration date, and so now God is like, no, it doesn't. You can still sing. No. You can still do everything you wanted to do. Do it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm doing everything I want to do. And one of those things is funny that you're on the show, because I have this little YouTube channel called Sweet Inspirations, and I do, like, daily motivational, inspirational stuff, and it's really taking off, and people are like, you should do radio.
Yeah.
But
God
has given me connections in every lane that I've ever wanted to explore. So I'd love to talk to you offline about that, Michael, see if there, you know,
most
any opportunities.
I would be so very interested, very interested.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
So Dream Empire, my company, you're asking me how I promote. Dream Empire has a film company, a publishing company. We also do voiceover for audiobooks and that sort of thing. I do commercial voiceover. I've done some commercial spots. You probably heard me and didn't know it was me. I'm the voice of Subway,
yeah.
Or was. They were doing the $5 foot-long campaign. Subway.
You sound. Yes. Very familiar with your work. Very familiar
stuff.
With your work.
Yeah. So, but I took a break. And so I was afraid, honestly, just to commit myself to that full time. And so I kind of dabbled in it. And then this is my work. And so I'm open to whatever God will have for me.
I'm glad you said that, because, you know, Mr. Gamble is involved with some gospel stations as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. And Joyce, one of the things I hear in the sum of your story from the time you started sharing is that corporate and structured environment is going to serve you well. Your experience there is going to serve you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. I believe that.
Processes, timetables, deadlines, all of that. Now you're able to use all that good experience for yourself, for your own enterprise. And the talent and gift was always there, as you made mention. But I think God's timing is always perfect. And you sound like you are enjoying yourself. You sound like you have a lot of life. And congratulations again.
Yeah,
now, let me ask you one thing, Miss Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
I see here something about science fiction and American sci-fi and all of that stuff. Tell me about that.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ. At ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Okay, let's go to a song, then we'll be right back.
listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Okay, we had a little piece of music there, and we're on the jazz station, of course, and we are going to be 24 hours back working our way up. But in the meantime, Miss Joyce, are you still there?
I am.
And Michael, are you there? I'm just checking.
I am.
And what about the Harvey?
Harvey Day, right here.
Still there? Okay,
yes.
Good. I just want to get the roll call to see if we're all in one place. Okay, we were talking about sci-fi and fantasy. Let's go with
yeah.
that. Now, we've got two ladies here that are taking over the show, but that's all right. That's all right. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate it. Let me just start with that. But the sci-fi and fantasy part of my life is really based, it goes way back. I was fascinated with all of the sci-fi shows growing up. Back to the Future was one of my favorite movies. So naturally, for whatever reason, God gave me this dream about this heirloom, this family heirloom. The dream that I had was originally about my grandmother's watch. I was there when she passed on, and she left me her watch, and I dreamt that it made me time travel, and then I dreamt the story that I wrote, the first book that I wrote that had sold 10,000 copies very quickly with little to no marketing, just word of mouth, was The Forgotten
wow.
Timepiece. That book is about a girl who is racially ambiguous. She doesn't really know what her race is. She's adopted by a white family. She goes on a quest mm-hmm. to find her biological family and finds her black grandmother who gives her this heirloom. And the heirloom is a watch that makes her time travel. And she has to go back and live her ancestors' life as a slave. Now, this is a spoiled brat of a white girl who's never really even related as very much to black people. And you could almost go so far as to say didn't really care for them. And she has to go live that life. And it is until she accepts who she is that she comes back to modern day. So that was book one. And the feedback and just people were like, I've met people from all walks of life who were very shocked by the storyline, especially white people, just being honest. We were out doing some location scouting, for example, down in the deep south, Savannah, Georgia, on a plantation, and we were getting some looks, if you will. And the couple asked me what we were doing there, and it was a white couple.
Yeah.
And I told him, and I went and got a copy of the book out of the trunk of my car, and I gave it to the woman. Well, she was really nasty to me, but I gave it to her anyway. And she read that
yeah.
book and wrote me like a 3-page letter, inboxed me on Facebook out of the blue on my fan page, and apologized. For everything she had ever done that was racist.
That's
and
hard.
She understood finally
wow.
why black people couldn't just
wow.
get over it. And she put herself in the shoes of that girl and realized
mm-hmm.
that she couldn't have done what our ancestors done. And the fact that I had that impact on her, it just that,
yeah.
that one story kind of just, it keeps repeating itself. And if you go to Amazon to this day and read the reviews, there are a lot of people who are not African-American people who have commented the same, that this pulls back the curtain on racism in a different and unique way. And so after book one, I felt it was my calling, that maybe this is why God yanked me out of that job, to write more stories like that. So I went on
Absolutely.
And I explored a little deeper with racism in our race, with colorism,
mm-hmm.
because we don't talk
oh,
about
yeah.
that, right? Want to blame everybody mm-hmm. else. So the next book is The Forbidden Ring, and it deals with a couple. One is the son of a Creole doctor, and one
mm-hmm.
is the daughter of a sharecropper who was a descendant of slaves, and it's set in 1925 jazz era New Orleans. And if you know anything about that era in time, it was Prohibition era, and we did not associate the same with Creoles. They looked down their noses at the dark blacks, and the blacks looked down their noses at them.
Yeah.
And there's this in dark skin battle. So it's a forbidden love kind of Romeo-Juliet story, but it deals with colorism. And so that pulls back the curtain on racism a little bit more. And then book three, which really has hit everybody the most, I think, even more so than book one, is the first one that we're shooting a $10 million budget in France. It's called The Lost Locket. And that one is about a modern-day journalist who
like, is enamored with all things in the past, in 1940s, and she picks up this locket from a, you know, a thrift store, and it has this picture of a white soldier in it. She's a black journalist. She falls in love with this picture. She's trying to find out more information. Then she starts wearing the necklace. And when she wears the locket, she dreams a dual reality where she meets the soldier in the locket. She's deployed as a nurse during World War II, as a black nurse serving in the U.S. military. Uh-huh. She meets this white soldier, and they have a forbidden romance. If you can imagine what that would be like, and then to wake up and be in 2020 and you meet the same guy who's a white civil rights attorney. So it's like a crazy twist and comical elements, but it has some dark things in it that never have been explored. We pull back the racism curtain on the U.S. military, okay? I'm going to ruffle some feathers with this one. But the sci-fi element is the time travel. It's the dual reality. It's the heirloom causing some unique magic in every story. The watch in book one, the ring in book two, the locket in book three. And the heirloom trilogy is available on Amazon. The titles, again, are The Forgotten Timepiece, The Forbidden Ring, and The Lost Locket. I highly recommend it. They're written, so I don't use a lot of vulgar language and stuff, even in the intense scenes. So you could have a teenager read it, and it'd be just fine. I wouldn't recommend it under anybody under the age of 14, 15, because there's some touchy elements with dealing with racism and whatnot. But the stories really tug at the heartstrings on three different levels.
Right.
You know, racism three different ways. Interracial romance, take a white person, make it live a black person's life, and the colorist they deal with it.
Well, you know what I notice nowadays, and I was also going to ask you before I asked that question, audiobook. Do you plan an audiobook? I'm going to do an audiobook for myself because I've just been dreaming about that for a long time. Have you ever thought about an audiobook?
Yes, and ironically, I'm an audiobook narrator. I have a studio in my home, and that pays 80% of my bills. I narrate books all day for everybody else.
But
I haven't narrated my own yet. I am going to do that. Matter of fact, that is something I'm supposed to be delivering quarter one, which is by March. So I got about 20-some-odd days to finish. But I've started The Forgotten Timepiece, and I do, like I said, I have Dream Empire Films.com and Dream Empire Voices, and we have seven narrators. So if I don't get to it personally, I'll have somebody else do it. But the audiobook space is really taking off, and more so than paper.
Well, one more question about you. Since you're so close and all these things seem like they're running together, what is your birth day? Not your age, just the month and the day. What's the day? Not
January.
Because you're so much like me.
I'm a Capricorn.
I'm October 21st.
I'm January 8th.
January 8th. I just celebrated some people in January. Dr. Maudlin, a famous doctor that is from Cleveland, is March the 10th. But his mother or someone was born around that time. And sometimes people are very, creative. And you just wonder, you know, are they all the same day? Are they all the same month? I was interested about that because you either have done or are going to do some of the things I've already done and had already experienced. Like you say, you were at a job and you had all this talent to give to the world. And so now you're doing it. And that's what I say. Don't wait to be discovered. Discover yourself. So
I
really love that. Yes, yes.
And I say get out of your own way.
Yes, get out of your own way. Yeah. Harvey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
He's kind of quiet. You're kind of quiet. Do you have a question?
I'm just waiting.
Okay.
Yes, I'm waiting for
Michael. Okay. All right, let's hear a song here for a minute, and we'll come right back. Thank you. It's 9:39. We're going to be going off at 10.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Hello, everybody. Are you still there with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes,
here. Mr. Gamble, I don't know how all these wonderful men and people came and helped us out here tonight. With you, Miss Joyce, you just do not know. We just came together today.
Oh.
Well, see, God works his word well. When you have a gift, nothing is strange to you. And I'm so happy that we met tonight. Myron is helping us through the night. And he knows a lot about the music, so I'm glad we got music, too, because music is very good. Music is a good thing for people that are unhappy or happy. Or sad. It's all over the place. It's an international language, as you well know. And I think that you have inspired us tonight, Miss Joyce, to know that you are doing your passion and making the world a better place. And I think that we are all in the vein of, inspiration. All of us are. We are the people that help the other people be happy. So we have to do that sometimes. I always like to do one thing because we're coming to the end and we want to play another song for you so you can hear some jazz. But I would like to ask each one of you a question. One question. And I don't want you to think much about it, just to go from the top of your head. And I'm going to start with the men and have Miss Joyce last. Is that okay, Joyce?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Mr. Zay, since you're so quiet, what would you like to say to the world tonight to let them know how you made it through and how you would advise another young person if there was someone that needed your help? Tell us about that. Harvey Zay of The Wave.
All right. Thank you very much, Vivian. Well, it's quite a story. We'll make it short with one answer. Anyway, I was born in the state of Mississippi. In the heart of Mississippi. Actually, I was born about 10 miles from where We were just talking about her. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey was born in a little town near Kosciuszko. I was out in the rural area. And when I was 7 years old, the teacher asked me what I wanted to be. And I remember the voice I had at that time. At 7 years old, I said, well,
I want to be a radio announcer.
And she said, well, son, you can certainly do that. You might have to have some change in your voice. And I always kept that in mind. My family and I, we moved from Mississippi to Detroit when I was 15. And when I got there, I found out I could actually see some radio stations. And I would go, my parents didn't know where I was, but I would go to a local station and knock on the door, and the DJ was there by himself. I thought there was a lot of people at a radio station, but I found out it only took one to really run it. And I asked if I could come in. He said, for a little while, have a seat over there. And I thought I'd be there for 10 or 15 minutes. But after I had some questions for him, he said, well, you could stick around for a while. And at that time, I knew that's the field that I wanted to be in. And when I got to high school, though, there in Detroit, my parents had asked me if I wanted to play music. I said yes. But then the counselor said, well, you'd be better off spending your time in speaking if that's what you want to do. So I took some speaking lessons, and it was great. And then I went on to college, though. My parents said, well, you probably should be in medicine. That would be great. And I had this pre-med course, and then they gave me all that chemistry and stuff. So I got out of that, and I went to broadcasting school in Chicago, where I went to college there for the first couple of years. And that was a great experience at Midwestern School of Broadcasting. And when I graduated, I also became a professor at one of the local colleges there as a radio broadcasting 101 instructor. And that hurt me to get to a local station or a gas station. I became the music director for the local station. And I had a talk show on the weekend. That was great there. And I was there for about 8 to 10 years. And then got married. 3 sons later, I was landed in Cleveland, where I was working at NPR, National Public Radio, WCPN locally, and I was a jazz music director there. They didn't have anyone who knew a lot about jazz, and I had really learned a lot about jazz in my first job, so I became a music director right away with a good salary, and I said, this is really great. And then I started teaching broadcasting at a local college again for students. They gave me the space. I rented from them, and then I had quite a few stations students, I should say, and I taught them to be broadcasters. Many of them are still broadcasting, some are in television. I heard from a young lady not long ago. She's got a six-figure-and-a-half income in Houston, Texas, doing really well, and I have a lot of students in Cleveland. I come across them all the time. We get together sometimes for a little reunion, but I also did voiceovers and other work like public speaking and also motivational speaking. Those sort of things, and helped my 3 sons get through college. And now they're all in business for themselves, basically. No student loans and just having a lot of fun. Other than
well, you know, now, Mr. Zay, Harvey, go ahead, wrap it up.
Okay. I can't see your hands with that wrap-up sign, but I know what you mean. Anyway, in addition to my broadcasting career,
we
got
to hear more from you. I want to hear more from you on the shows that I do. Mr. Zay is one of my co-hosts. I have 4 or 5 co-hosts who bring their talents to my Vimeo program every month. And we got to sing happy birthday. I forgot all about your birthday coming up. On February the 14th, I will be honoring Mr. Harvey Zay on my Vimeo broadcast, which is Faith with Vivian Louise Sharp. And if you want a link, I'll send it to you so you can be in the audience and be part of the show as well. So I want to go real quickly to Mr. Michael Gamble. Tell us quick, in about 2 minutes.
What would I tell the world? I would say, I heard Joyce over and over again refer to her creator. And I would say you're never too old to get to know who created you, who your God is. Everybody has a God, whether they know it or not. I happen to be a Christian, so I believe in knowing God or the Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think that it is important to understand that there are two worlds that exist at the same time. There's a natural, three-dimensional, natural, physical world, but there's a spiritual world. And that we'll find, and as we continue to live, you'll find that one of those worlds will dominate your life. And if you have aspirations as Joyce and Brother Harvey and obviously as Lady Vivian have, if you have aspirations in your life, if you will be open to finding out more about your Creator, I use a Bible. You can use whatever source you believe in. But I think that tapping into your purpose, Sister Joyce was fortunate that she was kicked into her purpose, but the indicators were there all along, and she can look back in hindsight and say, wow, I should have made this move, I should have made that move, and tomorrow is bright, the future is bright for those who see the light or see brightness. It's dark for people who don't see brightness. It's a tough road. Life is tough if you don't have some hope and inspiration, and I think I've been inspired just listening to all of you tonight. So that's my word.
Bless you. And Miss Joyce, we've got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
I'll keep it short and very sweet. Thank you, first of all, for having me on the show today. This has been a blessing. What I would say is growth is painful, change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you do not belong. So
yes.
I think for me, I sat in a cubicle for so many years and felt like it was a prison cell, and it took God to break me free of that. And I thought about this analogy that surely if a bird with healthy wings is locked in a cage long enough, the bird will doubt its ability to fly.
Yes.
The bird will feel like, I can't ever fly. I can't ever be beyond this cage. So free yourself. Get out of your own way and have faith. And understand that faith may move mountains, but doubt creates those mountains. So you have to get rid of the doubt and be willing to take the next step, even when you cannot see the staircase. Because when you have faith in God, you don't have to worry about the future. You just need to know it's all in his hands. And you go through it, you stick to it, and you do your best. And before you know it, you start to shift in your favor. And I've noticed it. There's days where I'm like, okay, I'm getting low on funds. I'm divorced now. You're going through that situation. It's just me. I'm a single mom. God, I look in my mailbox today and got approved for $500,000 credit card for my business.
Wow.
He will make a way. I didn't even apply for it. You understand? So no matter what has happened in the past, no matter what you're going through in your life right now, it has no power on your future. Because if you think you are strong enough and powerful enough to change God's plan for your life, honey,
you
check yourself. You are not that powerful. That's my word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good word.
Go ahead. I'm going to get ready to say my little final part, and then we'll close out and let our wonderful person put some music on and take us to the rest of the end. But I just want to say from the Maxwell Leadership Bible, John C. Maxwell, New King James Version, I made a vow in 1976 in Denver, Colorado, that I was going to sing for my new job for God. And I have the words that I read at that time. It ends with, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, all about me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." And I made that vow, and I didn't do it. But now I'm doing it, and I've got over 100 songs on Reverb Nation that I just make up. I don't even write them out. I just say whatever God says to the music. And my son is the producer of the music. And I just do that. But the last word I want to say, because I like to close with the benediction or something of that nature, because I believe in the Creator. I'm not a preacher. I just believe in the Creator, period.
Yeah.
We have to do our purpose, and that's one of the things we have to talk about. Solomon did so many things. They said that he had too many pursuits. And then I have a Bible that talks about focus, focusing on too many things. And so just remember this. Whatever you make a vow to do it, do it. Don't not do it.
Right.
Keep on till you do it.
Yeah.
And music is really my life. I do a lot of things which God has given me the ability to do. And so does our engineer and our owner as well. And we all are helping other people get through their lives. Don't ever stop doing that.
Yeah.
Always help, but don't ever give up yourself. For you have to do your passion. Like Benjamin Hall says, if you don't do it, it won't get done. Because he made it for you. And you have to do your part. And we all are. We all are doing our part. Thank you so much, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. If you have another word, say it real quickly. One word. Give me one word, everybody.
Thank you,
Joy.
Vivian. Now. Time is now.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to say this. Faith is seeing light with your heart when all your eyes see is darkness. So keep the faith.
Right, right, right. And talent is never enough. You know that. You have to have faith. You have to have everything to go with it. Okay. I'm going to let this go before we get kicked off the world. Okay, everybody.
We are listening to Shooting the Breeze with Potpourri People and mass media personality Vivian Louise Sharp on Cleveland Smooth Jazz, WJZZ, at ScreenWorksEntertainment.net.
Okay, maybe we're still on. I don't know. My nine helps. Go on.